Good morning. If you would, take your Bibles out, and we'll be starting in James. If I can get my book undone here. Many of you have wished me luck, and I appreciate that. However, I will let you know that the last speech I gave was in college, and I got a C on it. And not because it wasn't any good. It was supposed to be 15 minutes, and I went for 55. So get comfortable. So we're going to start, if you would open your book, Bibles, to James chapter 1. Before we go there, I have a little illustration. A man and his wife are awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding at the door. The man gets up and goes to the door where a drunken stranger in the pouring rain is asking for a push. Not a chance, says the husband. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Slams the door and returns to bed. Who was it? Asks his wife. Just a drunken stranger asking for a push, he answers. Did you help him? She asks. No, I didn't. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's raining out. Well, you have a short memory, says the wife. Can't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down on vacation and those two guys helped us? I think you should go help him. The man does as he's told and gets dressed and goes out into the pouring rain and calls out into the dark. Hello, are you still there? Yes, comes the answer. Do you still need a push? Calls out the husband. Yes, please, comes the reply from the dark. Where are you? Asks the husband. Over here on the swing, the drunk replies. Obviously, we're going to be talking about patience this morning. The need for patience. Let's read James chapter 1, and we'll read verse 2 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let's jump over to chapter 5 here in James, and read verses 7 through 11. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example in suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, who have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. I've entitled today's lesson, Lord, Give Me Patience, I Want It Now. The art of patience is rare to find in our high-paced, go-get-it life. Many cry out and say, Lord, give me patience, but I want it now. We live in a rat race of go-for-it. We have a fast food, quick print shops, faster and faster computers, express oil changes, expressways, instant pictures, one-hour photos for those of you who still use film, instant cocoa, instant coffee, instant oatmeal, microwaves, overnight delivery, express mail, instant messenger, and even cell phones that have Talk Now features. There is even a church that offers a 22-minute service. Go there and they promise that in 22 minutes you will be out of there. The sermon is only 8 minutes long. And I'm sorry to disappoint, but I probably have more than 8 minutes of scripture this morning. So, in our text here, we've read that we are told to be patient, need to take joy in it. And this morning, I want to take just a few minutes and discuss what is patience, how do I behave patiently, and how do I acquire patience. So let's look at what is patience. The dictionary says that it is the capacity or the quality or the act of being patient, tolerant and even-tempered, perseverance, the capacity for calmly enduring pain or trying situations. Now, reading that, we can all think of different things that come up to mind when we think of trying situations, enduring pain, being patient, being tolerant. But patience is not just a personality trait. Let's look at what the biblical idea of patience is. In our first scripture, we'll turn over to 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also suffered once for sins, that just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. These verses here, we can see that the Lord was patient, or long-suffering, in the days of Noah. So, we can see that patience is a characteristic of God. Let's also look at 2 Peter 3, 14 through 15. 2 Peter 3, 14 through 15. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, was written to you. In these few verses here, we also see that patience and long-suffering of our Lord is our salvation. So we can see that these two characteristics here, we can kind of see the importance of patience itself. It's also a characteristic, patience is also a characteristic of love. And we can go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. Verse 7 here says, it bears all things. If we truly love someone or something, we will be patient and bear the trials that come with it. I think we can all think of examples in our life where we are tried, and love is what really gets us over that. We need to be patient with those that we love. Also, patience is not optional. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Here we can see that it's not just we have to be patient with certain people, we have to be patient with everyone. Galatians 5:22 says patience is a fruit of the Spirit. These few verses that we've read here, we can really see the importance of patience, but we can also see what it is. Husbands, are you patient with your wives? I think we can all see examples in our relationships. Wives, are you patient with your husbands? What about parents? Are you patient with your children? And children, vice versa, are you patient with your parents? Are we patient with our brothers and sisters in Christ? I think of examples recently as far as we're looking for a preacher. You know, we needed to be patient and pick the right person. And in the time that we didn't have a preacher, we've had men stand before us. We need to be patient with those that may not do this on a regular basis. What about our enemies? Are we patient with our enemies? We can see examples throughout the Bible of Christ being patient with the enemies. And what about sinners? Are we patient with those of the world? Do we take the time to be patient with them and help teach them? We can see by the scriptures that we have read that patience is a characteristic of God and of love that is not optional. As Christians striving to be Christ-like, we need to be patient. If we truly love like we should, patience is a necessity. But how do I behave patiently? Some view patience as being stoic or just bearing it. They might have the idea that, well, this is how it is, so I'll just put up with it. And some might even think of patience as being passive, just not making any effort to change a bad situation. But how should we be patient? Let's turn our Bibles over to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The first part of the verse here that we read, it says, lay aside the things that weigh us down. And that's kind of between you and yourself. What weighs you down? Does sickness weigh you down? Sorrow? Death? Stress? You can insert anything in there that you think might weigh you down. The second part here says, put aside the sins that ensnare us. That is something we have to do. We need to be patient with that. It also says, let us run our race with endurance. Now, I don't know how many people run races, but endurance is what keeps you going. Endurance is what separates the one that wins and the one that doesn't. It's striving for the end, the goal. But here it also says, in verse 2 of that scripture, look to the author of our faith. We can see the example Christ left for us and how he endured. His response to many miracles he performed, those that still chose to ignore him. We can see the patience there. And I think of when we go out and teach the lost, the patience that's required if we get turned down. It happens. It happened to Christ as well. Or we can see the fasting for 40 days and being tempted. We all have trials. I personally can't go 40 days without food. 4 minutes is pretty rough myself. But also, we can also see how he endured the cross for our sins. Now, I don't think any of us have ever endured a cross. The second point I want to make on that is we can also take examples that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. Noah was patient and was saved. Abraham was patient and received his inheritance. And Sarah was patient and bore a son. And there are some other examples, but I just picked those three. But besides being patient, all three of those characters had faith. Faith in God's will and in God's promises. Noah had faith that if he built the ark, like he was told, he would be saved. And he was, him and his family. He endured the time it took to build the ark and the ridicule of those who forsook the message he taught while building the ark. Abraham had faith that if he followed God's command, he would receive what the Lord had promised. He didn't receive it overnight. It took some time. He was patient. And Sarah had faith that even in her advanced age, she could have a child if the Lord allowed. She endured for a very long time for something others had earlier in their lives. We kind of see that today where the younger want what the older have and want it now. We see that to behave patiently, we must have faith. Faith in that the things that weighed us down will be temporary and that the temptations and sins of life will be fleeting. We must have endurance to run our race, and we must have faith in the Lord who has promised a better place for those who finish that race. So we've talked about what patience is. We've talked a little bit about how do we behave patiently. But the million-dollar question is, well, how do I acquire this patience? Well, the answer is simple. We gain patience by working at it. Prayer is a good start. We must ask for help. Let's turn to Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all the might according to His glorious power, for the patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. God's power helps develop patience. We need to ask for help. Let's go to Colossians 3, 12 through 13, just a couple pages over. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It says that we must put on long-suffering. Putting on long-suffering means to me the idea of action or making an effort. We have to work for it. It's not something that's just going to come to us. Another verse here, let's turn over to the Old Testament in Psalms. Psalms chapter 37, verses 5 through 9. Psalms chapter 37, 5 through 9. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. These verses here says we must commit to the Lord and trust Him. Wait for the Lord. Now, what's that mean? We can acquire patience by waiting for the Lord's will to be done. We have to wait for His time. We know that we are to plant the seed and let God give the increase. As I stated earlier, we live in an instant society. However, we need to let things happen in the Lord's time. All too often, we tend to want it now. And lastly, on how to acquire patience, we need to remember the endurance of Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to you this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return, when He suffered He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have not returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In comparison, we as Christians do not face as much as the Lord faced. I personally have never been whipped and beaten for my beliefs. Have you? I have never been spat on or abused. Have you? And none of us have ever paid the price for sin for which we were innocent. Christ paid the price for our sins, and He was pure and innocent. If you would, take out your songbooks. This morning we've taken a brief look at patience, what it is, how we behave patiently, and how do we acquire it. We've seen that it is not just a character trait, but it is something that is developed. We need it, and it's commanded. One final thought, and the lesson will be yours. Do you believe the Lord has been patient with you? If yes, are you willing to believe in His Word? Are you willing to repent from your ways and turn to His? Are you willing to confess that He is Lord? And are you willing to be baptized? Do you want to take the chance of your time running out before the Lord's patience does? If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing.